Black Book Talk co-hosts Emma Jackson Ford, O. Bill Hill, and Patricia Welsh discuss what's on their bookshelves this month, and listeners are invited to call in and share their current reads. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by member support. If you'd like to become a member, go to kboo.fm and click on Donate.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of PDX Short Docs on Sunday, April 14th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Mission Theater in Portland. PDX Short Docs is a two-hour program of Portland-related short documentaries created by local filmmakers. This year, there will be several virtual reality short documentaries included in the 6 to 7 p.m. part of the screening. There will also be a Q&A with many of the filmmakers. Again, that's PDX Short Docs on Sunday, April 14th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Mission Theater, 1624 Northwest Gleason Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning. This is Fight the Empire. My name is Per Fogering, and today is April 4th. Do you know what happened? You know what this day is all about? Well, it's the 51st anniversary of the Martin Luther King assassination, which doesn't get talked about a whole lot anymore. It's more in the news that this is also the 70th birthday of NATO, which is being celebrated in Washington. But let's get back to the King assassination. There's really a very good book that's been out for several years now. It's called The Plot to Kill King, and it's by William Pepper, who is an attorney, and he was a colleague of Dr. King. And he has written three books about the assassination. This is the most recent, and it is in the library. I checked it out. If you're interested in reading it, you can get it at the Multnomah County Library. And Pepper had he had the resources to to spend money on investigators, and he. This book, it outlines in great detail how the murder plot against Martin Luther King was orchestrated. Involved in it was what we call a deep state right now. They didn't call it that then, but it involved the CIA, the FBI, a U.S. Army sniper team, the Memphis police, and the New Orleans Mafia. They all had roles in it. I guess the ultimate direction was probably under the CIA and the FBI. But they had their roles in this, and in a way, it underscores how different parts of sort of this criminal underworld can be used. I mean, when we talk about the deep state, it means that there are crimes being committed that are basically, it's just a conspiracy is a crime that's sort of been done in secret. Nothing that mysterious about it. It's just that it's not out in the open. You know, if you want to find a conspiracy theory, go down to the courthouse and go to almost any criminal trial, and then most of them involve some kind of conspiracies. But the deep state is a kind of it's sort of the intelligence community and the military, and how they and not even the not necessarily the ones in charge of these outfits, but people within them, and they have their networks, they have their friends and colleagues, they have their sources of information and money, and they can get away with these things because nobody wants to go into it too much. But anyway, the Dr. King was assassinated because he was speaking out against the Vietnam War. In fact, he was assassinated, I think, 1 year to the day after his famous Riverside Church speech, in which he said that America is the biggest purveyor of violence in the world. This is at the height of the Vietnam War. And he was speaking out against it. He was also organizing a poor people's campaign in which poor people, white, black, all races, and would converge on Washington and camp out on the mall until their demands for social justice were addressed. And that really had Washington kind of terrified. The idea of all these people camped out on the mall demanding some kind of social justice. This is a scary thing, and it was all too possible. And he, after King's assassination, the Poor People's Campaign continued, but it's kind of floundered, and it had a brief time on the mall, and then it kind of ended. And you see how the economy is now. The poor people are still with it. You know, the poverty is multiplying on the street level, while fabulous wealth is accumulating at the top of the social scale. But that was the purpose of the assassination, and King's voice was silenced. The same year that he was killed, future President Nixon was committing an act of treason, which is all you could call it. At the time, Lyndon Johnson was trying to negotiate an end to the Vietnam War. I believe he had already told the public that he was not going to run for re-election. So Hubert Humphrey was running for president in 1968. And Lyndon Johnson was holding peace talks with the North Vietnamese. And Nixon, who was a Republican candidate for president, let it be told, he told the South Vietnamese, don't go along with these peace talks, because if I'm elected, we will make sure that you get a better deal than you can get now. So that is exactly what happened. The South Vietnamese kind of balked at the peace talks. They never got anywhere. The war went on. And Nixon became president, and the Vietnam War continued for another 7 years. In the meantime, Nixon had to leave office himself. So now that happened in the year that Dr. King was killed, and the wars just continued. In 1973, the U.S. overthrew the president of Chile, Salvador Allende. Another in 1979, and this is when Jimmy Carter was president, as Zbigniew Brzezinski had this bright idea that we could get the Soviets to invade Afghanistan, this would cripple their empire. Brzezinski had this grudge against the Soviet Union. And this was his idea, that get them trapped in their own Vietnam. And so to do this, the U.S. started funneling aid to what they call the Mujahideen, who were these conservative country people in Afghanistan, and they were fighting this Soviet allied government in Kabul. A lot of people don't realize now that Afghanistan at one time they had you didn't have this feeling that women couldn't work, that women had to wear veils and hijabs and all that. You had a kind of more socially equal government in Kabul, and some of the people, the conservative people in the countryside, really resented it, and so they were supported to fight the Soviet allied government. And one of the people who benefited from this was a fellow named Osama bin Laden, who was actually from Saudi Arabia, and he was set up his group of fighters in Afghanistan. And so the Soviets were kind of brought in. They invaded to protect their government. They wound up staying for about 10 years, suffered a lot of casualties. Eventually, they did leave. And so, that kind of experiment in Afghanistan of a decent society was throttled. And Afghanistan has never been the same since. So that continued this in the 1980s under Reagan. You had the wars in Central America, El Salvador, and against the Sandinistas in Nicaragua, and it's the root of all of much of the problems that are in Central America right now, where people are leaving. They're coming to this country for various reasons, because their own governments are so oppressive and there's so much violence in their own countries that they are seeking refuge here. And the basis of that is the wars in Central America from the 1980s that the U.S. Under Reagan pushed. So Dr. King was killed. The wars continued, poverty continued. NATO moved east. NATO, at one time, NATO's original justification was this fear that the Soviet Union was going to invade Western Europe. Myself and a lot of other people think that this is really kind of bogus, that the Soviet Union was not in an invading mood. They were just sort of trying to protect their own country from being invaded from the West, and they wanted a kind of a buffer zone around them, and that is what they had. Well, when the Soviet Union collapsed, Gorbachev thought he had made a deal with the West that he would allow Germany, he would put up no resistance to Germany being unified and Germany actually joining NATO. But he wanted assurances that that would be it, that NATO would not move east against his own borders. And we gave him that promise. Unfortunately, Gorbachev did not ask it to be put in writing. It was a verbal promise, but it was explicit. And the U.S. Thought, well, we can get away with this. We broke the promise. NATO moved east, gobbled up made treaties with all the former Eastern Soviet allied countries in Eastern Europe, even moved into Afghanistan. And I think it added about 13 new members. And now, actually, NATO has moved to South America. Colombia has joined NATO, and Colombia is very deeply enmeshed in the war with Venezuela. So here we are after Dr. King's assassination. We are still at war with, war in Iraq, war in Syria, war in Ukraine. We have 800 military bases around the world, a $750 billion war budget, which a lot of Democrats voted for, and we have war spending. How does this go on? This war budget is really killing our economy, but it gets voted in by big majorities every year. And one reason why is that there is war spending going on. The Pentagon, when they allocate their money, they make sure that a little bit is spent in every congressional district in the country. So every congressperson has a reason for voting for the Pentagon budget, because some of that money goes to his or her own district. And a great example of that is Bernie Sanders. Now, Bernie Sanders used to be the mayor of Burlington, Vermont, which apparently is home to the F-35 fighter plane, which is a very expensive plane, and it doesn't work. It's a waste of money. It's but it brings a lot of money into the Vermont economy. So Bernie Sanders, who maybe in every other way is against war, against militarism, he feels he has to vote for this because it means jobs. And so we have war abroad and poverty at home, kind of as Martin Luther King prophesied. And that's, we can see what has happened. If anybody wants to call in, the number is 503-231-8187. What is your opinion? Do you think, who do you think killed Dr. Martin Luther King? The official theory is that it was done by an escaped convict named James Earl Ray, who, for reasons unknown, or just sort of they put it down to a hatred, where when you think about it, James Earl Ray, who was trying to leave the country for good, he thought that he'd escaped from Missouri Penitentiary, and he thought that if he could get to some of the colonies in Africa, he'd be safer there. But when you think about it, what reason would he have to kill Dr. King? Well, he was set up. According to William Pepper's book, one of the roles the FBI played in this was to bribe the warden of the Missouri Penitentiary to allow or arrange for James Earl Ray to escape. Now, Ray didn't know he was being helped in this. He thought he was sort of an escape artist in his own way, and he hid himself in a box of bread loaves or something, and got put on a bread truck that was leaving the prison. And he managed to escape that way, and he wound up in Canada. And but according to the book by William Pepper, The Plot to Kill King, the FBI sent some money from J. Edgar Hoover to the warden of the Missouri Penitentiary. So this is sort of it seems to me that when you see what has happened since the assassination, well, where are we now? We have Donald Trump as president. Now this is my theory is that there is a sort of a clear path to somebody like Trump from the assassination and the ensuing wars and poverty that encouraged kind of politics of resentment and anger that put Donald Trump in office. I think when you have a lot of wars abroad, they lead to encourage anger at home, especially if we keep losing these wars. Poverty leads to anger. You know, the anger should be at the system that creates the poverty, but all too often people who are deprived of a decent life, they take out their resentment on other people who are also being deprived of a decent life. And so, you know, this is a kind of a sort of stewing cauldron of hatred and resentment that leads to people like Donald Trump. Plus, you have this weird world of reality TV that makes people think that this kind of phony stuff you see on the TV screen is reality, is the way the world works. Well, it's much more than that. And now you have a weird system where the deep state is after Donald Trump. He's getting in the way of their plans. I think one thing about him is that he is showing the true face of empire. He is showing that that there's a lot of anger and bullying going on, and he makes no bones about it. You know, he is kind of telling countries all over the world that if they don't go along with what he wants, he's going to punish them. And this is not the way empires are supposed to work. Our empire is supposed to work as a kind of a setup where we are all in this together. We are sort of the U.S. is sort of showing the way to other countries, leading them to a better world, a world of democracy, and so forth. And so Donald Trump is showing the true face of the empire. He's also really too unstable personally to have a coherent plan of domination. You know, he's sort of he's soft on Russia for one reason or another. He's soft on, from the empire's point of view, he is not being tough on Russia, and he's not being tough on North Korea. At the same time, he is ready to go to war in Iran. There's this kind of invasion plans bubbling away behind the scenes to somehow topple the government of Iran. We have it breaking out into the open in Venezuela, and this Trump is all in favor of that. If anybody wants to call in, what do you think of Donald? Do you think Donald Trump... How do you think Donald Trump became president? How did he get where he is now? The number to call is 503-231-8187. I think the system that, if you look at it honestly, our political system put Donald Trump in the White House. He didn't get there by coup d'etat. He didn't get there... He got there. He didn't get enough votes by the popular votes. Actually, Hillary Clinton got almost 3 million more votes than Trump did. But Trump was able to get the required number of votes in the Electoral College. And so he got there by playing by the rules of our game. And this is hard for people to admit, because the U.S. likes to go around the world portraying itself as sort of the leader of democracy, where we can show other countries the way to a better life, a better democracy. Well, if our democracy is so good, how did it put a guy like Donald Trump in the White House? And I think this is very embarrassing. And so rather than do a little introspection and sort of go to work on our own system to make it more democratic, we would rather, or some people in the higher levels would like to blame Russia. Somehow Russia is involved, as Russia is sort of like the devil made us do it. You know, we didn't do it by ourselves. Russia put Trump in the White House. well, this is really kind of bogus. Russia, whatever, you know, whatever meddling they've done in our elections, I don't think that it got anywhere close to putting Trump over the top. It was our own system that did it. The basic, okay, good morning, Scott.
Oh, good morning. That was quick. Thank you. I'm just thinking the simplest thought, which is all I'm pretty much capable of. It's a modern-day Roman Empire that we are analogous to. And if you read, like, most of mine is the encyclopedia about the Roman Empire, how do they treat their neighbors and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of what we do is, well, we're an empire, and if you're an empire that huge, well, look at what Rome had to do, mm-hmm. and what we... That explains a lot, I think, about us, is we are an empire. Anyway, that's my thought.
Okay, well, I think that's very interesting about the Roman Empire. Our next caller is Flavius. Good morning.
Hi, Pear. Thanks.
Yes.
I think one thing that you're kind of edging around is the concept of mind control. And I noticed... some catches in your delivery, which I think are probably representative of the sort of thing that we face when we look at some of these concepts that are really challenging to our reality picture. About the same time that COINTELPRO was facing off against Dr. King, MKUltra was doing whatever they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
I would just put up that if they could control minds, would they? And where does that question lead us?
Well, that's a huge question. Great question to bring up near the end of the show, but I don't know. I mean, I've read about MKUltra, and I just wonder how much control, you know, you can mess around with people's minds an awful lot, and I'm just wondering how much you can control people, whether they really... I mean, I'm always interested in learning more, but I have my doubts as the idea of, like, somebody can be programmed like a robot to carry out crimes and things like that. I don't know. I mean,
sure.
maybe I should.
That's the far end of it, right? Let's wind them up and set them loose to do what we've intended, and that's pretty far-fetched. I'll mm-hmm. absolutely agree, but... You know, as you've described reality TV and the way the media shapes our perception is obviously one level of mind control.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm.
You know, and the question really is, you know, how deep does it go and how open are we able to let our minds be and follow that possible?
Well, I really wish, I think it'd be really great if more social scientists would get to work on that whole topic and find out more about it, because it's sure it really bears a lot of it's worth looking into, and
right.
But
Berger and Luckman.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, our show is about this. This has sort of brought us to the end of the show with a topic, a whole new topic for discussion and research about mind control, but in the meantime, we are stuck with Donald Trump in the White House, so there we are. I hope I sort of outlined a little bit about how he got there, and I hope people will think about Dr. Martin Luther King, who was assassinated 51 years ago today. You can go to the library and get this book by William Pepper called The Plot to Kill King. It is worth reading. It is really eye-opening. William Pepper goes into great detail about how this whole, basically one of the great crimes of this last century, how it was carried out. And so far, in a way, it has succeeded, because all the institutions got away with it. And they are still in power, still doing their dirty work. So thank you for listening. Stay tuned to KBOO, your radio station.
This is KBOO Portland. The time is 9:59. Coming up next on the Heather McCoy Show, Heather interviews Stephen Kijak, the director of Scott Walker, 30th Century Man. At 11 on Between the Covers, host David Naiman talks to Pulitzer Prize and National Book Award finalist Christine Schutt about her latest story collection, Pure Hollywood. And at 11:30, Black Book Talk co-hosts Emma Jackson Ford, O. Bill Hill, and Patricia Welch discuss what's on their bookshelves this month. Listeners are invited to call in and share their current reads. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by member support. If you'd like to become a member, go to kboo.fm and click on Donate.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, unless otherwise noted. The Engineering Committee meets on the first Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. Please join us.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Challenging the Both Sides Narrative, Difference Between Fascist and Antifa Movements in the Trump Era, on Thursday, April 4th from 7 to 9 p.m. at Cider Riot in Portland. Challenging the Both Sides Narrative is a talk by Dr. Stanislav Vysotsky. This talk will provide an overview of contemporary fascist and anti-fascist movements with a focus on the key differences between them. Again, that's Challenging the Both Sides Narrative, Difference Between Fascist and Antifa Movements in the Trump Era, on Thursday, April 4th from 7 to 9 p.m. at Cider Riot, 807 Northeast Cooch Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.